Blog Talk Radio.
I can't hear you. Make sure my speaker's on. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know what's going on here with my sound right now. Okay, can you hear me, Sister Mary?
More often than not, if veins do come out, they typically present you.
All right. Amen, 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 amen. Want to welcome everybody out to Tuesday night Bible study. I'm Brother Miles. Pray everything is okay with everyone. There's a sound check. Check, 1, 2, 3. Sister Mary, are you able to hear me? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Test, test, test. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, testing. Looks like we're having technical difficulties. Let me go out of the room and come right back in.
How to reach my family, how to reach the sea, yes I am. Open up the scriptures, prophecy is written, freely given, children read. 28 Deuteronomy's 15 from 68 proclaim. If we disobey, broke the covenant, then we would bear the shame. 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years against our enemy and having no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years for disobedience. We bear the shame. We bear the shame.
Israel been asleep for so long. We can't tell which way we going, right or wrong. Pouring to the sun God in the churches on the first day, calling on Jesus. Lord, wait, this led to 400 years of oppression and depression. Should we by now have learned our lesson? Shackles are off, but our minds in a deceptive state. What do you think is gonna be our end state? The lake?
How to reach my family? How to reach the seed of Israel? Open up the scriptures, prophecy is written freely, given children read. 28 Deuteronomy 15, 68. If we disobey the rules of covenant, that we would bear the shame. 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years against our enemy and having no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years of disobeying. 400 years, 400 100 years, 400 years, and a land that is not ours. 400 years, I guess I am. We've had no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years of disobeying.
We blind up in Babylon, hate is getting whipped on. Still practice voodoo while we sing that Obama song. Before we arrive to the kingdom, must come out of her. Spiritually and physically, we ain't ourselves from her. We must believe in Yah and herself, no trash from her. Mystery Babylon, the wickedness she be on. Man, our people minds gone, suicidal brains blown. However, Yah is in control, we must stay whole and be strong. And join the fold, this is not a show. Bump this in your whip, turn off the radio.
Drawing up to the time. Drawing up to the time.
100 years. Yeah, I saw you in there, but you couldn't hear me, I guess.
No, I couldn't. So
is
it rebooted up or
do
you still have to wait
some minutes? You still got to wait. It looks like it's having problems with that. Can you hear me? I'm fine. How about you? Able to hear me in the room? Come back in, because I can hear each other. We can hear you, but you can't hear us. Yeah. Okay. So go ahead and start. How are both of you doing? All right, amen. Amen. Well, I hear you there, then. You ain't got no issues then. Because there's nothing the Father... Huh?
And I'm at a friend's house.
You're at a friend's house?
Yes.
Did you say something about you... Was it the pipe bus or something?
No, it had a little bit. The first one was the pipe bus from the three. And they fixed it on that, and then we smelled gas, and there was gas.
Yeah, that's not good.
I know, and so they turned off the gas, so tomorrow, I think they're supposed to come and fix that.
Now, were you the only house with that problem out that way?
Huh?
Were you the only house with that problem?
I don't know. I think I was. Was that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's coming from my dryer.
It got. Yeah, is that your? I take it is your dryer out in the garage or something like that?
Huh?
Is your dryer out in the garage or what?
No, it's out in the basement.
Oh, yeah. Well, you wouldn't want no leak down there building up.
Right, and that's what it was doing, and that's when it turned off the gas.
Yeah, because that could have blown up the whole house.
Amen.
Amen. Because it could have went the other way for sure.
Exactly. So.
So amen. Glad that he saw you. Amen. I'm glad that he saved you out of that, because that really would be a bad situation.
Yeah.
All right. So, and how about you, Sister Mary? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. Not freezing or anything like that?
No, it's actually it's raining now, and the temperature is I guess about 57 degrees.
Well, that's not bad then.
No.
No snow. You said what?
We had 35 degrees today.
Well, heck, it's almost summer.
I know.
35. that definitely beat below zero. For sure. All right, we're gonna go ahead and get started here. Perhaps some other people will call in. If not, we'll continue. We are going to welcome everybody to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries. This is a Tuesday night Bible study. We're starting a little bit late. We still will finish on time. We are doing the guidelines for worship and, effective worship and prayer. And so we're going to go ahead and jump into this and do our statement of faith. I got to load this back up again. It's got to reboot the server. Yeah, it's raining here today as well. So, and it's in the 50s. It's been raining the past couple of days. Let me get our statement of faith. And We want to welcome everybody on Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the massive name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We apologize for the technical difficulties that we've had. If you're still listening online, then we're going to go ahead and do the statement of faith. We have the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your head. I don't know what I got stuck in my throat. As we do our statement of faith, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Glory, 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 glory. All glory and honor and praise belong to you, O Father Elohim. And we just lift you up and we magnify your name on today. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. For truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. There is none like you, O Yah Elohim. No, not one. And so we bow down before you on this evening. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right, in our verse for today, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, giving thanks to Elohim and the Father by him. May the Most High bless you for the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, give me 2 minutes. I need to find something. I got something stuck in my throat, some phlegm or something, but I'm going to go get a soda real quick, something with some fizz in it to see if it will clean this out, because I don't even sound right to myself.
Okay.
So let's play this record and I'll be right back.
Gotta have faith. It's life or the shadow.
standing beside you. He's light for the shadows. He's hope for tomorrow. He'll always be there through the sun and the rain. You've got to believe before you can see it. And you can walk on, cause he's making a way. Just gotta have some faith. You gotta have some faith. When you don't see it, but you believe it anyway.
Whatever that is, that wants to bring it out. Okay, so let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and let's get verses 16 and 17. Guidelines to prayer. And I'll do the reading on tonight. I don't know how your voice is tonight, Sister Mary, but and Sister Denise is listening through your phone, so I'll just do the reading, okay?
Okay.
All right. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to Yah. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Elohim, unto the Father and to the Father by him. So we are supposed to let Christ dwell within us richly. The understanding that the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation, and what Messiah, how he fulfilled that in his dying on the cross for us. And so we're supposed to dwell in that richly in all wisdom, truth, rightfully discerning the word of Elohim, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to Yah. So we're supposed to have a sweet melody, a song in our heart for the Most High and for Messiah and the work that they have done in salvation. In verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, giving thanks to Elohim and the Father by him. So our worship has to include Messiah, and it is to include him in a way that we, for everything that we do, our thanks has to go through him. And he goes to the Father for us. Now he says when we pray, to pray to the Father. But if we're making a request, we got to make that request in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ. The book of Psalms 150. And we're going to get the complete Psalm 150. Praise ye Yah. Praise Elohim in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So let's start with these two verses first. Praise Elohim in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. So we're to acknowledge him in the sanctuary. And today we are that sanctuary. But if we were in a building, when we come together, we are to praise him when we are really by ourselves, we are to what? Praise him. And then praise him in the power of his, in the firmament of his power, in the height of his power. The Most High, we are just supposed to give him the highest accolades that our spirits come up with. And no matter how high the praise that we give him, it will never be good enough. It will never be sufficient or fit him, but we are to do it. Praise him for his mighty acts. So when the Most High does anything for us as part of our worship and our praise, we're to give him what? Acknowledge it and thank him for it. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. When it's excellent coming from the Most High, it is perfection. Even a lot of times when we can't even see it or understand it. So we are to just give him praise and glory and credit for what? Everything.
For everything.
For everything. Praise him, not just with our voices. Praise him with the sound of the what? Trumpet.
The trumpet.
And with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. So it is not, I've heard brothers say that when they see some churches doing praise dances to the Most High, that they think it's out of order, but did he say praise him in the dance?
Yes, he did.
Okay, and so did David praise the Most High in the dance?
Yes, he did.
So, you know, sometimes I'll be wondering where these brothers be getting this stuff from. I think it's because they don't feel comfortable in it, then they don't feel like nobody else should be doing it. Praise him with the string instruments and the organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. That is why when we were studying the law and we were studying about the Levitical priesthood, and I'm trying to remember, I think it was the Kronos family. Don't take my word for that. I have to look it up because I think most of them got killed. But they were the choir. And they were part of the ministry. And so the choir in the body is ministry. And so just like with the priest and you know the high priest and the priest, the deacon, all those offices are the teachers or all that. Everything that's part of the ministry is supposed to live by the tithe. And that is their payment from the Most High. What a lot of the churches today have done is made, you know, I can't say every organization is like this. I can say most black organizations. I can say it like that. Because they have to raise their own money. Most of them, if you were in the part of the Baptist congregation, maybe Methodist, they may have had a national organization that helped the church grow. But I know that I know in the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, they had a national organization, but it did not. It was there only for licensing purposes. And so every pastor had to dig out their own church, you know, grow their congregation, support it, and that kind of stuff. And so in that, a lot of the things that should have been part of ministry, they would sort of call it that, but it would be more so a love ministry. You volunteered and you did it to support the ministry, but they did not pay you for it. And all of the tithes and the offerings and everything like that, they were, you know, typically it was that family that was keeping it. And so it is not supposed to be that way. Here we have, you know, here we have the, really we have the choir here with all the, what, the musicians. And they're playing the harps and the psalteries and the string instruments and the organs. That is the choir and the musicians. And they are part of worship and praise in the official body. And they are supposed to get paid for that by the church, you know, the body. So it says, let everything that has breath praise Yah, praise ye Yah. So you're going to praise them, you know, with what I would say are official hymn songs. Because you yourself, you and I, in and of ourselves, can you make up a song to Yah?
Yeah,
just something from your heart, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you're singing, you know, whatever you're feeling at that time, you know, you feel like praising him, you want it to come from your heart, you want it to be your own words, you can make up your own song. But then there is an official body that is supposed to help bring up praise and worship to the Most High. And, you know, it would be what we would call the choir today. So let everything that has breath praise Yah. In whose prayer does Yah delight? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 15. The book of Proverbs chapter 15. And let's get verse 8. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. And the word of Yah reads, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Yah, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. So the Most High, when a wicked person, a sinful person, comes and wants to bring a sacrifice to him, bring an offering to him, what did he say it is?
An abomination.
It's an abomination. You know, so, you know, people, they don't consider these things and what they're doing. You're coming to bring an offering, you know, to make a promise or whatever to the Most High, whatever you are coming before him for. And you are, today we are supposed to be those sacrifices, right?
Yeah.
So if we're supposed to be those sacrifices and we're not walking upright before him, then what is our praise and worship to him? This is rough.
Unrighteousness towards him.
It's unrighteousness toward him, but we just read it's an abomination.
No, I say our righteousness towards him.
If we are, let me make sure you understood my question.
Okay.
If we are not walking upright.
Oh.
And we make a sacrifice, because we are the living sacrifice today, right? And if we're walking in sin, and then we're presenting ourselves as that living sacrifice to him, but we are in sin, it's an abomination to him.
Right.
Okay, and so that's rough.
That is.
And so, you know, we want to always walk before him in the way that he wants, and, you know, with a contrite heart. We want to always have a clean conscience towards him. We want to always be able to approach the throne of grace with boldness. Now, I'm going to go off course here for a minute. Let's go to Isaiah. Um, I believe it is 50. Let me check that. Well, let me get two things here. Give me a hot second. I'm leaving the lesson for a second because something just came to me. And it fits in here. Go to Hebrews 4:16 first. Lay the foundation there. Hebrews 4:16.
Is this 4:16?
Yes, ma'am. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so let us therefore come out to the throne of grace. Unto the throne of grace. If you know you're walking, you know, you're not walking according to his word, if you know you're walking in sin, do you think you can come boldly to the throne of grace?
No.
And so we have to, he says, even our sacrifice, we're the sacrifice, but our prayer, anything that we try to do, he said it'll be an abomination to him. We're not walking upright with him. And if we're not doing that, then there's no way that we can come, what, boldly. Because you come to the throne of grace boldly because you believe you have a what, right to?
Right.
You are within your right to approach the Most High, to make a petition, to praise and worship him with a guilt-free conscience, with nothing, you know, on your mind that's distracting you from him because you know you haven't been walking upright before him. And so let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Well, if we are, and this mainly falls into the category of willful sin. If we are willfully sinning, then anything that we're doing is going to be an abomination. Okay, and we won't be able to really come boldly unless we have just become so desensitized and we feel like, you know, I really do think if you get into that place, there's something you really don't believe the Most High exists.
Mm.
And you're going through the motions. Or you are so reprobate that you just can't see it or know any better. So let me think. I think it's Isaiah 50 I want to go to now. Because we're supposed to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace, right?
Right.
It may be Isaiah 58. I think it is. Yeah, let's go to Isaiah 58. And I want us to contrast this. And this is
how.
Yes, 58.
Oh, 58.
Yeah, 58. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right. Cry aloud. Fear not. I want us to pay attention to these words. Because this is the Most High talking to Isaiah. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And show my people their what? Show my people their transgression. And the house of Jacob, they're what?
Yes.
Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did what?
Righteous.
So they act in righteous, but they are walking in what? Sin?
Mm-hmm.
And transgression? Well, that's sin. And they are acting righteous and like they delight to know what? His ways?
Amen.
And forsook not the ordinances of their Elohim. So this people, they are bold. They are puffed up in self-righteousness and approaching the Most High as though they had a right to approach him. And he's telling Isaiah, cry aloud. Tell them their sins and their transgressions. Because they're seeking after me like they have a right to. And they have no right at all. You approaching me like you ain't done nothing wrong. And they want to bring me a sacrifice and an offering or come to inquire of me about what you should do. Now they say, wherefore have we fasted? Why have we fasted? Say they. And you, Yah, see is not. Why have we afflicted our soul? And you, Yah, takest no knowledge. You don't acknowledge it. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find what?
Pleasure.
Pleasure. And exact all your labors. And do, I told you, don't work on this particular day or these days. But you find your own pleasure in these days. And you still do everything that you're supposed to be doing on the normal days, but also doing it during, in this case, the Day of Atonement. Okay? Behold, you fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard where?
On high.
So why are you fasting as though you are righteous, as though your fast will make me hear you? And I've told you that if you afflict yourselves and if you will fast, I will hear you. But you are in what? Sin?
Right.
Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast? An acceptable day of Yah. Now, this is what they're doing. They're afflicting their bodies and stuff, but they are doing it in what? Sin. No, it's not because they're doing it the wrong day. It's because they are practicing sin and still want to approach him. You know how some people do? They will sin, and then they will still think they have a right to approach the Most High. And he's saying, why are you approaching me as though you have a right to? The wicked can't approach me. Only who?
The righteous.
The righteous. So when we are living in sin and thinking that we have a right to approach the Most High, to petition him for anything, to make, as he said, as he said here, to make your voice to be heard, where? On high?
Uh-huh.
If we're walking in sin, and he says, I don't want to hear that. You ain't got nothing to say to me. Except for you repent. So they are doing this. They are approaching the Most High and they are fasting to petition the Most High for something as though their fast is righteous. Hey, why are we fasting? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Why are we afflicting ourselves and you don't take note of it? He says, you're doing all this stuff in wickedness. You are in sin and approaching me as though you are clean. Anybody know anybody that does that? Because I know the church does it all the time. Just the way that it is. And we're reading here, he says that it's a what? Abomination to him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. Okay. Now he wants us to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy, that we might make our voice to be heard on high. But if we're walking in sin, because I don't want to hear it, you ain't got no right to approach me. Because by right, I should be slapping the hell out of you.
Mm.
And if I slap you, it's a death sentence.
Mm.
So we got to understand that we don't just approach him in any kind of way. So if we are not walking upright, then we can't approach him as though we have a right to approach him. Yeah, you are my Elohim. I know I'm not doing right, but I still want to approach you. He said, you're talking foolish. You are reprobate and don't know it. Because if you weren't reprobate, you would know that, hey, you can't approach me in this condition without what? Repenting?
Right.
Truly repenting and turning away from whatever, and then you gotta be coming to me for forgiveness first before you be trying to sacrifice, trying to petition for something, trying to make your voice heard on high. You gotta make things right with me. So when you don't do that, then you're assuming that you can approach me boldly. And you have no right to approach me. It's disrespect. Keep going. Let's go to, so we can see here that Israel was in sin, and they were approaching the Most High to inquire of him as though they had a what right to? Why they were in that condition. And then we read in Proverbs or in Colossians chapter 3 that for somebody to do that, it's an abomination to the Most High. It's an abomination for the wicked to approach him. Don't matter whether you're his people, whether you are a Gentile, whether no matter who you are, if you are in wickedness and you come to approach him, you come to make a sacrifice, an offering, you come to make a petition, Most High looks at it and says, he said, it is an abomination to him. He's like, what the hell? What does that one think it's doing? As though I'm going to accept that unclean sacrifice. As though I'm going to hear their words. So we just can't, what, approach them any kind of way?
Nope.
So people believe that they can.
Is that my nerves?
I don't even know if that's even nerves. That is
foolishness.
Yeah. And I would say ignorance, but I wouldn't want it to be excusable. Because at some point you got to know. So Proverbs 15:8 said, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to you. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. So we got to know that we can't just approach him He told us through Nadab and Abihu that we couldn't worship him just any kind of way.
Yes, sir.
And he's telling us here that we can't praise him or come and make a sacrifice to him in any kind of condition, in any way. We've got to make sure that we are worthy, at least to his minimum standard, to even approach him. So let's look at the different elements or parts of our prayer. When we come to him, you know, we got to be praising him. We got to be thanking him. We got to be acknowledging him. We got to be petitioning him. But we got to make sure that we are in a right place to what do it. Now, I'm not talking about a physical place. I'm talking about a spiritual place, the condition of our lives. So let's go to Daniel chapter 4. The book of Daniel chapter 4. And let's start in verse 30. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. Elements of our prayer. You guys found it?
Amen.
Okay. Starting in verse 30.
Okay.
And let me know when you're there, Mike. All right. The king spake and said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomever he will. So, verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and as his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? So Nebuchadnezzar started off, go back to verse 30, and the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Was he taking credit for everything?
Yes, he was.
Okay. The Most High said, uh-uh. And go down to verse 34. And when the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High. He didn't do that at first, did he?
Nope.
And I praised and honored him that lives forever. So blessed him, he praised and honored him, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And he acknowledges that all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as what? Nothing.
Yeah.
And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. So it's just basically saying he does whatever he wants to in heaven and in what?
In the earth.
And none can stay his hand, can stop him, and say unto him, what are you doing? So the Most High is what? Sovereign. He don't report to nobody. And nobody's going to question him as far as what he's what? Doing?
Nope.
Okay. Drop down to verse 37. Drop down to verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are what? Truth. And his ways, judgment. That means righteous judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to what?
Obey.
Bring love. So we got to make sure that we, when we are praying, that we give him honor and glory and what? Praise.
Amen.
Okay. Acknowledge that who he is and that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his power is, his power and authority is what? Unquestionable.
Definitely.
Go to Psalms 104. Psalms 104. Hit verse 1. Bless Yah, O my soul. O Yah, my Elohim. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. They're going to bless Yah. You're going to compliment him. Thou art what? Very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. All the highest, what, accolades? And so we got to, in order to do that, you really have to be able to see that in your mind and in your heart. It's hard to describe something that you can't see. So we always have to acknowledge that he is the King of Glory, that he is the highest power in the highest heaven, that all honor, and that he wears what? Honor and majesty. That he is very great. Give him his what? Just dues. Go to Psalms 145, 1 through 3. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3. I will extol thee, my Elohim. O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is Yah, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. How great is Yah? He's unsearchable. We don't know. You can't find it out how great he is. You can't what? Know it. You can only what? Speak of the, you can only speak of it in a term that you can what? Comprehend. And that still would not be what? Great enough?
Nope.
Go to 1 John chapter 1. Okay. First John. Chapter 1. Let's get verses 1 through 10. When you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness to show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that Elohim is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what?
We lie.
We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we know that this applies to what? Ignorant sin.
Right.
And one time, the first time we come to him, to our willful sin, our blasphemy. So he is faithful and just to forgive us if we are coming to him innocently, because you're innocent, you are guilty, but you're innocent because the motive for your sin was not what? Willful.
Right.
And he is true and just to forgive us, because I will forgive you. Okay. Now, if we stop there, if we really did not have any understanding in the word, and we might use this verse to say, no matter what our condition is, we can come to him. But we know that's not true. And he has not changed. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to get verses 5 through 15. Actually, let's just go ahead and just get verses 1, please. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And the alms are the works that you do for people who are in need. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet. Pa, 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 pa. See how I'm helping this person? Do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street. You know how they come up and say, hey, we're raising money for this cause, and they want, you know, and thanks to the brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, and we want to thank all these people who are contributing and all that. We're not supposed to what? Do that?
No.
Okay. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. That's why they're doing it, right? For recognition?
Right.
Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, they're supposed to be doing it so that they have reward in what, heaven?
Right.
With the Father. But he says, when you blow your trumpet and you try to get recognition down here, that's your reward. You're not storing up anything where in the heavens. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand does, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, but you, when you pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So he's saying, hey, don't pray to me in such a way that you're asking for the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah, I need that car. I need that car. I need that car. I need that car. Yeah, you hear my prayer. Deliver that car to me. Yeah. Give me that car. Bring me this. He said, don't pray like that. Ask once and believe that you receive it. You don't have to do it over and over and over again and ask for the same thing, because he says, when they do that type of stuff, and they think that the more that they're saying, the more they're getting through to Yah. But he don't actually, what, like that? So when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. It's not talking about people who owe you. It's talking about people who have what? Have offended you? Who have trespassed against you? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we know that the trespasses are what? If we trespass, they're sin, right? And so if somebody offends you, they sin against you, he says, you are to what? Do what? Forgive them? And so that your Heavenly Father will also what? Forgive you? Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. Got a sad face on. I got to fast today. I'm fasting. I'm hungry. Y'all leave me alone. Can't go about it that way. Of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their what?
Their faces.
That they may appear unto men to what? Fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to what? Don't look like you fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not. Okay, we're just supposed to go down through that way, Matthew 6. So we're getting into the fast. So down through 15, he said, forgive people who trespass against you so that your Heavenly Father will what? Forgive your trespasses? Go to Luke chapter 18. And don't pray, what, it with repetition? Because the Father doesn't like that. Just like your kid asking you for something over and over and over and over and over again. And you've already told them that, you know, you're going to do it. But they can't be patient enough and what, wait on you to do it. They're going to keep pestering you about it. So it's a form of either trying to manipulate or disbelief. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not Elohim, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not Elohim, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not Elohim avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? So he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth. So Mosai says, I know what you need. I don't really want you what pestering me for it, like in repetition. But it's okay to make your petition known night after night. So it's the way you're praying to him. If you are praying for every night, you pray for that Yah delivers you out of a situation. How many times do you need to ask him that night?
One time.
But you can ask him what? Every night? But just don't make sure you don't be doing that. Yeah. You know my situation, Father. Yeah, deliver me out of this situation. Yeah, they're coming for me, and I don't know what to do. Deliver me, Father, out of this situation. Yeah, you're strong. You're a mighty hand. Deliver me out of this situation. Are you asking for the same thing over and over again? Yeah, he said, don't do that. He says, it's okay. You come to him, and he says, yeah, you know my situation. Father, deliver me out of it. And then do what? Move on. Thank him for it. Acknowledge who he is and move on. The next night, you can do the same thing. He doesn't consider that as repetitious what? Chanting or prayer. But he knows that if you ask the same thing every night, that you're being what? Persistent. And he don't mind that. It's like he's saying, hey, don't get on my nerves. I heard you. I heard you the last night. I heard you the night before that. I heard you the night before that. And he doesn't look at that as being a bad thing. But if you come and you are like, it is repetitious, same thing in that same night, he doesn't like that. Does that make sense? So if, you know, somebody has done something to you and you're asking him to avenge you, you know, bring justice to you, you ask him one time that night. You can ask him again tomorrow night. You can ask him again the night after that until you, what, receive justice. He just don't want you over and over and over again in the same night ask him 50,000 times as though he, what, can't hear you?
Yeah.
So he don't want us doing that. Let's see. Luke 18. Let's keep going. Verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? In other words, when we ask over and over again, it almost is looking like what? We got a lack of what?
Lack of faith.
A lack of faith. Okay. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised what others, I'm righteous and you're not. So he spake this parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, Elohim, I thank thee that I am not as these other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. Did he just like trying to think of the right word, what he just did to this publican?
Slandered.
And slandered him, right? I fast twice in the week. But he's puffing himself up, right?
Uh-huh.
I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. Okay, so we didn't need to go that far. So he's saying, don't be a hypocrite and puffed up and proud. and think that you're all that in a bag of chips, and then you're going to use somebody else to what makes yourself look big. Just don't do that. Go to Psalms 118. You know, and that reminds me, that reminded me of, I used to see some of the women in the church do that to new women in the church who they were unlearned. So, you know, they would come to church dressed in a miniskirt and high heels and, you know, what they would have worn out to the club. And the women that were in the church, they would treat them almost like dirt. Is that what that publican, I mean, the Pharisees just did to the publican?
Pretty much.
Yeah, he says don't do that. Psalm 10, verses 1 through 4. Oh, give thanks unto Yah, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear Yah say that his mercy endureth forever. So Yah's mercy does endure forever to those that what?
That love him and obey him.
There you go. That's who he has mercy on. Go to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. And we're going to be getting verses 15 through 17. And when you have it, just say amen. Do you two have it? Hello.
Amen.
All right. I thought y'all might have dropped or something.
No, we did.
All right. Luke 17, verses 15 through 17. In the word of the Most High read. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have... And he would have fain have filled his belly with, now this, who does this sound like off the top of your head? This is from that one verse.
Did you say Luke 17 to 15?
Luke, oh yeah, you know what, I'm in the wrong place. My bad. Let me get there. Telling y'all to tell me amen and I'm not even there. Luke 17, and one of them which he saw that he was healed turned back and with a loud voice glorified Elohim. Now, who does this sound like? The lepers?
Yeah.
And this is the lepers, okay? And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Yeshua answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? So out of the 10 lepers that he healed, that he cleaned, how many of them came back and gave him glory and honor and thanks?
Just one.
Just one. There are not found that return to give glory to Elohim, save the stranger. Okay, so when the Most High does something for us, we are to make sure that we would give glory to Elohim.
Yes.
Give thanks.
Yes.
Okay. John chapter 11. 41. John chapter 11 and verse 41.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Now, this is about Lazarus, okay? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Now, Messiah is what? Getting ready to call Lazarus out of the tomb? And Yeshua lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. We need to have also the same faith that when we ask the Father that he what? Hears us?
Yes.
We need to believe that even before we pray. And I knew that thou heardest me, that thou hearest me, what, always?
Mm-hmm.
But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So he didn't do it for his own sake. He said this thing out loud so that they would believe.
Right.
So he said, hey, when I call Lazarus out of the tomb, I'm not doing it for my own sake. I'm doing it so that they would believe that you sent me. But the truth of the matter is, what he's saying is, I know that you knew what I was going to do before I was, what, going to do it?
Right.
And I didn't have to ask you or speak it out loud as though, you know, I'm saying it or making a request as though you don't already know. You got to have faith to believe that Yah hears us and is going to what, do what we ask.
Amen.
Philippians 4 and 6. Philippians 4 and 6. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto Elohim. So you don't have to, if you are walking upright, because we got, in order to do these things, we have to be what, walking upright?
Right.
He says, and be careful for nothing. Ask for what you need, what you want, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto Elohim. So Messiah said, you got to believe that Yah hears you. That goes back to the first principle, that we got to believe that Elohim what, exists.
Yeah.
And is a rewarder of them that what?
Diligently seek him.
Diligently seek him. Okay. Got to believe that. Time we got 750. Exodus 32. The book of Exodus chapter 32.
Amen.
Right, thank you. In verse 32. Exodus 32 and 32. And the word Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. We're supposed to be asking the Most High to what? Forgive people's sins?
Yeah.
Okay, now I don't know about Moses, I'm about us asking to be blotted out of the book. I don't think that should be part of our prayer life. But in this circumstance, he asked that, right?
Yeah.
Because he thought that the Most High was going to kill everybody.
Yeah, so there's petition in for
him. Right. And in verse 33, what the Most High say to him? And Yah said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book.
Mm.
And he was hot. And the people had, you know, pushed him to a limit to where he was not going to be, what, merciful anymore?
Right.
He was not going to be forgiving anymore.
Right.
Okay.
He was angry.
So we do see that the Most High, what, has a limit?
Yeah.
Matthew 5:44. The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 44, and we'll stop by right here for this evening. Matthew chapter 5, 4.
Man.
Okay, Matthew 5, verse 44. And the book reads, the word of the Most High reads, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That can be hard. But we are commanded to what? Do it.
Right.
And the Most High, now, when we hear that verse, be thou perfect, for I am perfect.
Uh-huh.
This is where the Most High is talking about. Because while we were yet sinners, did he forgive us?
Yes, he did.
And so he says, I want you to be like me. And he says, and don't worry about getting somebody back. I'll do that for you. Vengeance is whose?
It's the Most High.
It's the Most High. Somebody uses you. They, you know, they despitefully use you. If they hate you, if they do, you know, wicked things against you, say, Yah bless you. I still love you because I know you don't know no better. And you know what I found, and sometimes I forget it, but I found that you can love somebody to death. They can be doing the most evil and wicked things to you, and all you do is show them love. You know what it does? It tears them apart. Why are you being so nice to me? Why are you, you know, showing me so much compassion when all I do is this to you? It actually will get to them. And you shouldn't be doing it for that purpose, but that's the actual result that it has. Because you know that in the end, they are either going to change or they're going to become more, what, hateful? And the more loving and kind you are to them, the more coals, heaps of coal you heap on their head, the more judgment you bring upon them. So we'll stop right here for today. And remember that when we are praying for things, the Most High does not hear the prayer of the what? Wicked?
No.
And if we are walking in sin, he doesn't hear our prayers. He says our prayers and our sacrifices are what to him?
An abomination.
And so we can't, just like he told us, that we aren't free to worship him just any kind of way that we want. We can't approach him in just any what condition.
That's right.
If we are not walking righteously before him, then we can't even approach him. Because it's an abomination to him. We're doing one thing and acting like we have a right to approach him. He says we have no right to approach him when we are in our wickedness. When we are doing
it. You know what, Brother Miles?
What's that, ma'am?
I think you got to have stopping yourself as we dealing with.
Say that again.
You have to have, I might not be saying the right word, stop of yourself. You have to know who you're dealing with.
Right. You have to have accountability. You have to know who you're dealing with, and you got to know where you're at. In other words, you got to be what? Honest and truthful with yourself. And then you got to be honest and truthful with who you're dealing with. And really, reverence is what? Holiness. That I'm not even worthy, even if I was doing everything right, I'm really not worthy what to approach. But he has given me permission to approach, and if I'm walking righteously before him, then he says he wants us to approach him boldly and come with our petition. But if we are not walking right before him, he don't even want us approaching. You know, not even, you know, kowtowed or anything like that if we are not truly repentant. You don't want us, you know, paying alms or tithes or doing any of that kind of stuff like that, because he says it's to him and it's an offering to him. But he says it's a what? An abomination to him?
An abomination.
So we got to understand that our frame of mind has to be right before him. Our life has to be right before him. Then we can ask what we will. All right, so we will pick this up. Let me put it in the recording so when I go back. We're going to pick this up in John chapter 17. On next, we're looking at, in this case, the different elements of our prayer. Okay, and so, you know, we have to be humble. We have to give him his due, give him glory, give him honor, give him praise. We are to compliment him. We are to humble ourselves, and then we're not to pray for stuff, you know, over and over and over again the same night. Repetitiously, we can be persistent in our prayer. That means that, you know, if we want the Most High to deliver us out of something or to deliver someone out of something, we can ask for it, what, every night? But don't be asking for it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times all night. He doesn't like us to pray that way. All right, with that being said, any questions? All right, Brother Gary, you got any questions? Okay, I don't know if you've fallen asleep or if you're there or what, but okay. There are no questions. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And may the Most High keep you. And remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Elohim and keep the commandments, for this is our whole duty. Shalom, family, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Shalom, Brother.
Enjoy the rest of your evening.
You too.